as long as leadership are on the same waka, everyone else will join. It's very hard to start your own waka up while everyone's on a separate waka and be like, hey, jump onto mine. You'll get maybe one or two who are keen, and then the rest will just be like, I like my waka, it's comfortable. Whereas if they go join your waka, they're like, oh, you're going to go out into the ocean. We might get hit by a big wave or a hurricane. It's going to be a bit rocky. I'm not so keen on that.
Kia ora, I'm Troy, here as Chief Executive, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. Thanks for connecting. If you're new, here's what you can expect. We're going to be talking the tough stuff, the things that keep us middle minds up at night. There are many challenges facing our industry and equally many opinions on how we should tackle them. Stirring the Pot provides a facilitated forum to discuss and challenge these viewpoints.
So let's get to the nuts and bolts of it. Today our conversation is with Byron Conier, a senior mechanical engineer and Māori advisor at Stantec in Wellington. We last spoke to him back in 2019 when he was just starting off his career as a young graduate hydraulic engineer. Join us as we reconnect and find out what he's been up to and how he thinks the engineering environment has changed to better attract and retain a diverse workforce.
Kia ora, Byron. It's been a long time since we last chatted on Stirring the Pot.
In fact, I was just reflecting on it. It was back in 2019.
Yeah, it seems like a lifetime ago.
So I'd be super curious to know what you've been up to. So maybe you could catch us up a bit on where you're currently working and what's been going on in your engineering career.
I think the last time we talked, I was still based in Auckland. I was working as a hydraulics engineer. I think I just started my graduate role earlier in 2018. Since then, COVID came along. I was transferred from Auckland down to Wellington, and then ended up leaving that company about 3 months ago now, 2 months ago. And I've just joined Stantec start of August. So I think now I'm coming up on 2 months here at Stantec. And now my role's completely changed. So I'm no longer a hydraulics engineer. I am a senior mechanical engineer / Māori advisor. So moving out of the building space, and now I'm more into the infrastructure, wastewater treatment plants, pumping stations, and actually having te ao Māori as part of my role. So that split aspect of being able to incorporate tikanga, kaua into my work. Now it's nice to actually be able to embrace my culture as part of my mahi and be recognised for it.
I think actually in our first podcast, we were really focused on some of the things that you've brought up just previously around the major changes between the two roles, and how we were looking at ways that we could close the skills gap by focusing in on attracting and retaining a more diverse workforce. And you said earlier how it's so nice to be able to bring your whole self to your mahi now.
Yeah.
How do you think that change has come about? You know, why do you think the engineering environment has, or how do you think it's changed for Māori and engineering in that way?
I think in industry, there's a lot more demand for te ao Māori in terms of integration with mana whenua, wanting to understand how te ao Māori operates. There's a lot more interest in the reo now. Even from non-Māori, I'd probably say that my tauiwi colleagues are probably the most interested in te reo, which was quite surprising to me. But I think the major issue now is that there's a lot of demand at the top level, so going into industry, going into more kind of exec roles or managerial roles. But there's still a bit of a lag time in terms of bringing Māori through to fill those roles. So I do see a fair amount of accelerating in the industry in terms of finding Māori that are currently existing in a business and trying to transition them into a te ao Māori role, which, in honesty, not all Māori are comfortable or really want to do that. And I've seen a couple examples as well as those young Māori who are competent in the reo being made into a te ao Māori advisor or rather a Te Ao Māori or a real translator for a business. And I think in some ways that's to the detriment of their own advancement as well as the advancement of Māori within the engineering industry. Because rather than them gaining skills or gaining new skills from being in an engineering environment, they're almost going into a bit of a reversion that they've just completed a four-year degree. Now they're entering in a workplace where they're not actually able to practice or use that degree. Instead, they're having to draw on something that they may have learned through their entire life, and that's become the core focus of their mahi, which has like another lag effect to it as well, because those Māori who are going in aren't actually learning to be engineers, and they're not able to then back transfer that knowledge to their cousins or younger Māori that they know who would be influenced to then follow that same pathway. They will probably see it as like, oh, well, if I go into engineering, I'll just end up becoming a Te Ao Māori advisor, which is not something that I want to do, or like maybe they're not that keen on going down that pathway regardless of it being a Te Ao Māori or not. They're just completely put off by the engineering route.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? That we are wanting to bring more of ourselves into our work that we do, but at the same time, we don't want it to take over from the mahi that we do.
Yeah.
So it's trying to find that balance between the two. And I guess it's probably touching on that conversation around a little bit of cultural tax. So it's fantastic to see people or organizations wanting to do that, but also there's a way in which they need to acknowledge that that's actually not their role and it's a separate thing.
And the other thing I find too, and it's a good point you made bringing up cultural tax, is often businesses want to pivot towards a Te Ao Māori trajectory because of the monetary gains they think will be there. But when they do that pivot and then they try to transition kaimahi Māori into those areas, it's often without any kind of monetary gain to that kaimahi. Like they're being pushed into that area, the knowledge from them is being extracted, and because, depending on the age, not necessarily able to set boundaries and expectations, end up just doing two jobs in one. So they might do their standard 45 hours in their job as an engineer, but then they're having to do another 20 or 25 hours as a cultural advisor. And that can shift or go higher. Like we've just had Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. And I'd say there'd be quite a few Māori throughout the country who might feel a little bit burnt out after that week, because they would have had to maintain all their projects, as well as probably rolling out a few pepeha training sessions in their offices, doing a puraka or waiata. And something I've discussed with other colleagues in the past is becoming a questionnaire board, or like a Google search for Te Ao Māori, where they're like that people ask any question that they have, and generally it's in a non-Māori setting, so people are quite comfortable with asking certain questions, and that becomes difficult because you're constantly you would have heard the questions over and over again, and it's just extracting more energy out of you. And then to go back to your normal mahi, you just kind of drained.
Yeah, no, I could totally relate to that. I guess that was why I was really excited to see that with your current role, it's actually built into it's not just that you're an engineer, but they're recognizing that you also take on a special role in terms of helping advance Mātauranga Māori within your workplace. Why is it, firstly, I guess I'm really curious to know, was that built into the role when you took it, or as they sort of got to know you, it became something that happened?
Yeah, so Stantec is going through quite a heavy Te Ao Māori transformation led by Iruira Lee Morgan. As part of that, they were looking to establish Pau Māori within the various regions they operate in. At the time, I don't think either of us or Stantec or I were sure what the role would become, or at least the role didn't exist prior to me arriving. And a lot of the conversations that I had with the hiring team was that Well, my current role, I'm doing a split role, but it was a case of that the split wasn't very clean. I was still having to do my full engineering load as well as the cultural advisory mahi. And I wanted something where I could keep doing those, but the expectations were to a singular role, something where I was able to pivot between the two as I saw fit or as it required. You know, some weeks you'll be more te ao Māori, other weeks you'll be more focused on projects. But I wanted that to be centered around the standard 40-hour work week, as opposed to having your engineering job, which was 40 hours, and then the Māori advisory, which could be 40 hours in a week, if not more, depending on which projects you have going, what levels of engagement you're having to enter into. And people, once you engage with te ao Māori, like this is like your whakapapa, whanaungatanga, it's the expectations are different. You could get called up at any time.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that you make, actually, because I have heard the argument before, particularly for smaller businesses. You know, one thing that they might say is that because they're a small team, their employees have to take on a lot more than would be traditionally placed into a specific role. And I do get that. In fact, HEDA is pretty much the same, you know, even though we might be, for example, a manager of a division, we still have to do a little bit of admin or, you know, a little bit of people work or, you know, all of those types of things, because we just do not have all of the different roles, the capacities to meet. Yeah, to meet all of those metrics. But I think it's probably important to note that when it's from a cultural perspective, it's a little bit different, because it's more than just asking you to do a job. It's asking you to bring yourself, more of your deeper self, you know, to your mahi.
It's more of an extraction process, because you're having to work quite highly in two different worlds. So like you're being Māori, you're used to the te ao Māori worldview, but your tauiwi colleagues aren't. So you're having to understand what it is that they are trying to do, understand what mana whenua are trying to do, and then you're playing a translator role between the both of them. So I find in a lot of cases, unless your tauiwi colleagues have had some kind of awhina training, it's a lot of work to then back translate to them, because you're kind of double handling throughout.
I think it's a bit of, I don't know, for me personally anyway, when I'm doing my mātauranga Māori mahi, I'm super proud of it, but I'm also, I have to be honest, a little bit fragile about it as well. So, you know, not everyone is going to get that journey or even buy into that journey. And so when you get the negative feedback or, you know, the resistance, oh, it just cuts it a little bit deeper, because it's not just a project, it's who I am. Yeah. So when you're cutting the project, you're cutting me, kind of thing. And I think that's the tough part about Māori taking on these roles, because we have to find a way, I guess, to bring our own resilience to the conversation so that when we get that, we don't take it on board personally, but it's really hard to separate the two. So with the particular role that you're doing now at Stantec, when we look specifically at the Pō Māori role that you're holding, what does that actually involve for you within the workplace? Like, what does that look like? What sort of mahi are you doing to fulfill that role?
Yeah, it's quite a broad answer to this, probably. The way we kind of look at it is like, kind of, if you think of like a koru pattern, it's all spiral together. So we're starting at the, or rather, arako. So if you look at a tree, you've got all the concentric rings. So our role as a Pō Māori is to kind of grow that arako bigger. So we're starting at the center. We're focusing on what Stantec's capability is, understanding where certain people are on the journey, how do we find traction or build competency, empowering Māori to embrace their, I guess, Māoriness or their reo in the office, creating a safe space for tauiwi as well to be able to express interest without repercussions. And it's kind of like counter to what I said before, where during Te Reo Te Reo Māori, people would just ask anything. But the idea of having a specific po Māori is that throughout the year, people are able to have a constant interest and a place to ask that rather than waiting for a specific week. And then as we kind of grow that poo outwards, we'll start looking at how do we engage on projects? How do we engage with mana whenua? How do we engage with councils, private developers, all of our various clientele? And at least the major focus for me is it's quite difficult to have two ways of thinking in a business. So what I've seen in the past is like, oh, there's the te ao Māori way, so we're going to do it for this project. And then there's the te ao tui or our business as usual on this project. A big focus for me is to create one, well, rather than one combined way, making the te ao Māori way the way that we go. Because in my view, te ao Māori takes, especially from an engineering perspective, a broader lens. Often when you're on a project, you're very much like, we're doing this with this pipe on this area. I'm going to focus on that. And we're going to limit all the external variables, because if we take in too many variables, it becomes complex. So rather than having that perspective, we start with Te Ao Māori, where we're looking at how is Te Taiao or Te Wai affected on the broader scale first, and then we use the information of the broader scale to influence what we do on the micro. And then
I love influence. That.
Yeah, which I think, like, when you look at how long a project or how long an asset's supposed to last, generally you're looking at 50 years. And sometimes, like, if we look at history, like, sometimes the detriment of Te Ao Māori is, like, we're looking at, like, hundreds of year scales. Like, you might be looking, like, oh, if we insure this for 200-300 years, like, our whānau will be good for that extent of time. But it's taking that same lens, so their longer extent, but being able to have the foresight to review at set points. So you've gone for the scales, what you're wanting to get to, but you make sure, okay, every 5 or 10 years we're coming back to it to make sure that we're still able to maintain that track.
I think it's definitely a challenge. I think that everyone has been brought up in some form of a perspective, you know, some form of lens over their life. And it's really challenging for people to challenge their existing perceptions on how they do things. And that's for Māori as well. It doesn't matter what culture you are. It's really tough to see a different point of view if you've never looked at it in that way. Yeah. And so I can see for engineers it would be really, really challenging, because there's a little bit of risk involved with trying to take on this idea of understanding so far in advance. But I think the really cool thing about if we look at Te Ao Māori and Te Ao Pākehā, that actually there are some really cool sort of intersections between our two worlds that probably if we focus on finding those, then everyone can go more comfortably on a journey. And I think you hit on it. It really is about environment and future generations, because I couldn't think of any person, regardless of culture, who doesn't care about, you know, what the world will look like for their kids or their kids' kids or their kids' kids' kids. And so I think there are those commonalities where if we're sort of open to seeing them and the mahi we do, actually it's okay to sort of try these different perspectives and challenge those viewpoints a little.
Touch on whakawhanaungatanga to that, like, so people understanding that there are those commonalities and we're not as different as we think. It's just that things have gotten lost in translation, like literally, like the English to the Māori. Like, but there are a lot of similarities, and like you're saying, like, everyone can kind of understand, like, well, we want things to go well for our kids, like we want our kids to go to good schools, we want them to be healthy. That's a common line that people can all gather on.
I love to see that there are many organisations out there, particularly in the engineering space, who are taking on this challenge, because it's not easy to shake up the way things are being done and to make those changes. One thing I did want to go back to from what you mentioned earlier was that actually a core part of why Stantec is on this journey is because right up the top in their leadership, there's, I guess, a Māori po or role model who's making that call. What do you see the role of leadership in terms of ensuring that this sort of acknowledgement of the two worlds is filtered down through a business? How is that working for Stantec, and how are they getting that across the line in terms of leadership?
I think Stantec's, well, I'm not lucky, all they've selected really good people who are open to te ao Māori. Our currency is also Pe Eru as part of the national exec, and I think that's a major part of allowing or creating a space for te ao Māori, is that it needs to be a top-down approach. I have tried to do the bottom-up approach prior, and you don't get the same buy-in, and then people feel like they have an excuse to not engage. Whereas it's a top-down approach, although like some might say hierarchy is a bit outdated, but people respond to that a lot better, a lot faster. It has purpose behind it. It's not seen as an individual outcome, but rather a business outcome. And then people don't feel so, they don't feel like it's as burdensome, because if they engage and it's a bottom down approach, they'll worry about being an outlier. Whereas when it's a top down approach, that feeling of being an outlier is less perceived. Some people might feel that way just because of the cultural differences, but in general, because the top is so open or so expressive of te ao Māori, others feel that they are able to then follow in those footsteps. And I guess there, to your point of leadership, is that as long as leadership are on the same waka, everyone else will join. It's very hard to start your own waka up while everyone's on a separate waka or separate three different waka and be like, hey, jump onto mine. You'll get maybe one or two who are keen, and then the rest will just be like, I like my waka, it's comfortable, I can row along all day and I get to see the moana, it's all business as usual. Whereas if they go join your waka, they're like, oh, you're going to go out into the ocean, like we might get hit by a big wave or a hurricane, it's going to be a bit rocky, I'm not so keen on that, I like my sunshine.
I love that. It's a very te ao Māori way of looking at things, Byron. You're bringing your Māori mind to the kōrero. Yeah, I love it. I think, I definitely agree with you in terms of leadership. I think it makes it culturally safe for anyone to sort of join the waka, as you so eloquently put. I think also it creates a space where it normalizes the approach and makes it okay to sort of, be your authentic self in the matter that you do. Kind of makes it sort of just not an expectation but not also a rub on other people. It's just kind of normal. It's part of the fabric of your business. So it's really great to hear that your business is on that journey. And I was a little bit curious, why do you think the CE has made that such an important part of their strategy moving forward? Is there any sort of influences there that you think has caused that to happen, or is it just moving with the times?
I'm not entirely sure how it began in Stantec, but from the conversations that I've had, there was a bit of curiosity for te ao Māori initially, and because Stantec works quite heavily with councils, obviously councils being a crown entity, they are tied to te tiriti. They have to engage whether they like it or not. And us as an engineering consultancy being able to best serve our clients and our communities, I think it was a natural progression. And obviously the political landscape has kind of accelerated the way te ao Māori is engaged, or the need to engage, and Stantec has kind of caught that wave. And then with they lucked out when they selected Eru as the pōārahi for the business, in my opinion, because he's just, if you talk about like extracting knowledge from someone, like I'd say I'm like a 2 liter bottle and he's like the Te Moana Nui a Kiwa. So there's so much to get out of him. It's so much to learn from him. I shouldn't say get out of him. It's
I definitely role models like that are so important.
Yeah.
I think even for yourself I can see how much you look up to him, and it's so important for our young Māori engineers to see people like him paving the way and shaking things up a bit, not just going with the flow, but saying, well, I am an engineer, but I'm a Māori one.
Yeah, and then Eru coming from a broadcasting background, he's able to tie together this pūrākau, which people are able to understand and join into. And I think that was the power when once he came on board fully, once Stantec convinced him to join on full time, it was kind of, like someone opened the tap and all the water started running. And then the demand within the business kind of just like tripled overnight. And Eddie was at a point where he needed more people to join on. And we kind of happened to meet each other through a Māori Engineering Leadership Forum. And I just liked everything that he was saying. I was like, okay, I'll join your waka, like using the analogy we had before. And then now, we're rowing down the awa.
I definitely think you're right. The government environment certainly has an influence in terms of policy, procurement. And look, to be honest, there's a lot of projects now which are requiring iwi engagement.
Yeah.
And, our whānau can sniff out disingenuous people from a mile away, and so I think for organizations to navigate this space well, they do have to come at it with a genuine understanding, and it's not just about making pūtia, making money, but also that genuine care for intergenerational wellbeing and te tai ao, because those are the parts that actually lead to good iwi engagement.
Yeah, and that's where like the internal portion comes in. Building that internal capacity and understanding allows people to be a bit more empathetic or understanding of when they do engage with iwi, it's not going to be the way that they may expect. It might not be it's not as difficult as they expect, but it's not going to be the same. And so you front end the abrasion by giving people a better tool set to engage.
That's what I was just pretty much going to say, is that for many businesses, they're in a rush to get this sort of capability under their belt. And unfortunately for this sort of mahi, it's a slow burn. It takes a bit of time. Mm. It takes investment in your people and upskilling to understand the sort of tikanga and cultural aspects before you can jump in the deep end. So it is definitely a long journey.
Yeah, and actually it's a good point to that. Wharehuia Dixon, as well as Talk to Eru, that te ao Māori needs to be recognised as a skill set or as a professional skill set. If they're wanting to engage with mana whenua, people need to be able to engage. You don't turn up to an engineering firm having worked at Pack and Save and no degree and be like, hey, give me a job. And I think that's what businesses have traditionally done. They're just like turned up to iwi or mana whenua and being like, hey, we want to work with you. And I was like, well, you don't even know anything about us. So how are you going to come in without any education? It seems quite counterintuitive to what businesses do in general.
I agree. And I think also it's, again, coming down to that, the different worldviews, in most cases, and I'm being very general here, but in business as usual, to, for example, purchase a big piece of land, you just offer the right amount of money, you relocate whatever is existing on that land to somewhere else, and that kind of gets the job rolling and going. And then if you try and apply that approach, for example, if you're dealing with an iwi who owns the land, that just doesn't work. You can't do business as usual in these sorts of contexts, because the iwi are going to want to understand what are the impacts on the whenua. They're going to want to understand what does that mean for their whānau, their community. And they're thinking that things are whole different. So, you know, it's not necessarily a case of, oh, I'll swap you or I'll give you this much money. And in most businesses, usual cases, that would be what is needed to get something across the line. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when you're putting it through a different cultural lens, it's not going to get the job done.
Yeah, I guess for our tohu listening to it's that difference between the macro and micro. Like, this is my box. I'm gonna, if as long as it's not in my box, it's not my problem. Whereas if you take the more macro to our Māori lens, well, if I move from this box to this box, it's still in my box. So it's still an issue that I have to consider. And I think often we stick too long in the micro, and that has probably led to a lot of issues that we now face today with our infrastructure, where, well, we'll patch this area, but we're going to leave the downstream like that, or we're going to change up this stream because we need to create another route for stormwater, and hey, this is already a channel that exists, we'll just repurpose it. And then the next thing you know, like, your fresh water's gone, your fisheries or all of the tuna in the awas all gone. Now we have all of these issues with endangered species. It's just that micro lens is kind of just kept micro, 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 and now we've got macro issues.
Yeah, I think it's just highlighting those differences. And I think with the work Stantec is doing, which is really exciting, what it does do is it allows engineers who wouldn't traditionally look at a project through that lens to just consider that there could be other perspectives or ideas that they may need to think about in order to get the project across the line. And you don't know what you don't know, and that there's no hate on anyone who isn't currently doing that. It's just it's different, and it takes learning and understanding to unpack that and then incorporate it within your business. And I think part of the journey is sort of just being able to educate yourself a bit more and understand that world a bit more, so that if you have to navigate it, you kind of can do it a bit more armed with knowledge and understanding.
Yeah. And what I've found too is once people understand the reasoning, they're like, oh, that's quite logical. And then they see a lot more purpose to their work. So they're not looking at it like, okay, I'm just going to change out these valves. They're like, okay, if I change this valve, this is what benefit is across the entire system. And now you actually feel more encompassed by your work. You're like, okay, this actually, there's a purpose for me turning up. I'm not just here to like make money. Like, there's an effect that I have on the community. And it allows people to kind of take a lot more positives from their work, especially when things get a bit busy and you're kind of buried in mahi or calculations, drawings. You actually can step back and be like, okay, now there's a purpose to this outside of just me getting my salary.
So have you noticed more Māori in engineering in the sort of 4 years since we last spoke? Is that improving, do you think?
Not really. Some certain companies will have more Māori than others, depending on their relationships with various schools. But I find that the places where Māori are not where our universities are. So, like, the major engineering universities, Auckland, Christchurch, like, most Māori would be around, like, Rotorua, the Gisborne, Hawke's Bay. Like, we're more central if you go further north. Like, not really as highly represented in the bigger cities. And so I think there's a lot of barriers to entry in terms of getting to the good universities or getting to the ones that people most recognize for engineering. I think Te Pukenga is doing a lot of good work in terms of creating more access, but I think there's probably more work that industry can do to facilitate alternative routes, because I don't think we're going to be able to change the current education system a lot. But what I think we can do is facilitate cadetships through our businesses to provide more accessible pathways. And that kind of also builds into our mana whenua engagement, because we're wanting Māori to join the businesses. So the best way to get young Māori to join is to work with their whānau, because they're the ones who are going to be influencing them. And if they can see a pathway for their kids in our businesses, then we're more likely to get an uptake. Whereas if we're trying to target universities that at the moment are struggling themselves to get Māori in, I don't think we're going to get a lot of outcome change. It would just be the same percentage amounts that we currently have. And then we're probably going to be having a similar conversation 10 years from now, being like, how many Māori do you think are in the industry? And I'll probably be like, well, according to MBI, there's about 2-3%, which is the same as what it was in 2010. So we've spent the last 20 years making no progress.
Yeah, we definitely have more mahi to do. One thing I have to acknowledge is with in Engineering New Zealand, they have been holding these wānanga or hui around Aotearoa, Kōrerorero and Kai. And I actually attended one of those, and one of the things that I appreciated about that was actually standing in a room and seeing so many Māori engineers. It was almost a cultural shock for me because I'd not really seen that many Māori engineers in one space before. So that was really cool to see there are a lot of us out here. We're just dispersed quite a bit. Yeah. The other thing I thought was really interesting is I talked to one of the Tauira students there, and he had come from, you know, a kura kaupapa background. And he was just talking about his journey from, you know, really sort of living in deeply in a te ao Māori perspective through kura kaupapa, which is obviously very immersed in the world of Māoridom, and the cultural shock he had when he then decided he wanted to be an engineer because he wanted to help his whānau and his community, and then just the change in educational systems and what he felt like was a lack of support or connections around him to help him keep going on that journey. It is interesting. I think our Māori engineers or Māori students in general, that is quite a big cultural shock moving from, you know, very supportive environments to sort of like every man for himself kind of space in university.
I do feel bad for education facilities because they're having the funding is constantly decreasing, but the demand of them is constantly increasing. So it seems that's what I mean, like the education system's in an uphill battle, and it's kind of a place where industry can backfill the demand, because that we can't, like, not even like if you look at it from a non-Māori perspective, like people can only be stretched so far. And then if they're now being asked, oh, you need to support these Māori students, like you're just going to create a lot more issues than you are benefits.
Yeah, it's definitely in the benefit of industry, I think, to sort of understand the role they can play in that space.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a common thing that we're hearing that we've got skills and labour shortages.
Yeah.
And one way we can plug that gap is through attracting more diverse workforce. And being more inclusive so that we attract and retain that workforce as well. And I think our future generation of engineers are a lot more clued up and a lot more connected to the environment and social impact, you know, looking after communities. So they're important aspects to sort of work into, I guess, an HR strategy for upcoming businesses looking to get the right people in their teams. So I guess with a few more years under your belt, what would be your key advice to young aspiring Māori engineers now?
I would still say if they were wanting to be an engineer that it's a good career option. I have seen a lot of people when they join the engineering industry that they've kind of flip-flopped between disciplines. I find that at an early stage, the perception of building quite a wide base is something that everybody kind of carries. And I've found that if you focus on that really wide base, you can only be used to the level at which that base is built, which is so because it's so wide, it's generally quite low. And so you're never really seen as a valuable asset to the business because you can only really perform at that lower level. Although over quite a wide area, you're just going to get moved around and it's going to be quite hard for you to feel settled. So what I would say is if you're looking at going into engineering, spend a lot of time on figuring out what you like before you enter into the workplace, because not knowing is probably the worst thing you can do for yourself. You will feel undervalued, you will feel overworked, and at the end of the day, the business is not in a position where they can advance you because they're not going to advance you beyond your capabilities. So I would say pick what you like and then just really drive that home. And then later on, if you're wanting to engage in a more Te Ao Māori role, I would do that once you've built your engineering base, because if you're in an engineering firm, you should take what you can from that firm. Whereas when you enter into that Te Ao Māori space, they're taking what they can from you. It's a different exchange. And then I guess the other advice I would give is, if you are looking to go into engineering, it is quite broad. If you're going to study engineering, it doesn't necessarily mean you will have to be an engineer. You might find that you're an entrepreneur and then now you've done mechanical engineering and you know how to 3D print, you know how to design or go through an iterative design process. And you're like, cool, that's what I want to do. I want to be an entrepreneur. Like, you've now got the tools. You've also got a whole bunch of friends that are kind of similarly inclined, or like, I can't think of anyone at university who didn't do something random that you wouldn't expect. Like, you'd have people who would be like rebuilding their car. Someone would be like randomly 3D printing this instrument, or they would have had a problem at home that they didn't like, and they would have just like created something to solve that. It's the environment as well, not just getting the piece of paper.
So there you go. Thanks for joining our conversation with Byron today. It's always great to check in with those that we've had conversations with in the past to see where their careers have taken them. And in the case of Byron, it is exciting to see his evolution in not only engineering, but also in his personal journey in Te Ao Māori. Food for thought till we see you next time. So hit subscribe, and if you liked what you heard today, please like, review, or share with any metal minds you know. Let's spread the word. HERA is working to produce easy-to-use guides to assist companies in navigating Te Ao Māori in their workplace, and are also facilitating training courses in Te Tiriti or Waitangi. Both are aimed at supporting businesses to attract and retain Māori engineers as a future workforce, and better equip them to approach procurement and iwi engagement projects confidently and genuinely. If you'd like to find out more about this program, you'll find details in the show notes.